And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. Once again, it is March 1st, 2026, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here with us this morning. And I wanted to start off with reading a scripture. It was one that, I don't know, I've been using it a lot lately, but I think that it just ministers to me. It's found in Psalms 33, verse 12. Blessed is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who he has chosen for his own inheritance. And I think that the more that I listen to these messages by Earl Jones and Jack Moore and Pastor Peters, it really stands out. And we were just very blessed and very, very privileged to be able to have these messages and have teachers like this in our lives. They're the ones that taught us and gave us so much of the foundational teachings that that we stand on today, and it's a blessing, and it's my job to take these messages and continue to make sure that they get out, and I couldn't do that without you, those that support us out there, that through your prayers, your financial support, your tithes, and I'm very grateful for that. There's a lot of stuff going on and there's a lot of stuff to talk about, but before we get started, we're going to have a song, and this one is Pray Like a Wildfire.
Dark prayer like like a wildfire. Pray for its spark. Pray like the wildfire out of control. Pray like the wildfire scorching your soul. Pray like a wildfire lighting the dark. Pray like a wildfire. Pray for its spark.
I hope you enjoyed that song. I sure like that song. I don't know. There's been a lot of stuff on my mind, and I got to move rather rapidly. But one of the things is I know, and it's the talk of the town right now, or it's across every news, and everybody knows that we bombed, were part of the bombing of Iran just a couple of days ago. I guess it was yesterday. You know, it was one of those things. I woke up yesterday morning to that news, and it almost made my stomach sick. It just turned it. I just groaned because, you know, it was. I don't know, just one of those things that, you know, and you can put it however you want to put it. It was, you know, the Jews that had their beef with Iran, and I know that you know that they played a huge part of it. I know that we did a joint mission. Basically, we came out and admitted that that it was a necessary evil, and they tried to tie it into biblical prophecy of warring with Amalek. And the problem is they've got the parties. They don't have them identified properly, I guess it would be the way to put it. And it hit me hard. And I mean, I immediately thought of the scripture. And I remember Pastor Peter's talking about, the scripture that I thought about was in Galatians 6 and 7. And it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And I remember Pastor Peter's teaching on that, how that wasn't just for us as a person, but it applied to us as a nation as well. And I thought about, you know, how you can't go in into another country and bomb somebody and assassinate somebody in their own house, assassinate their family, and not expect retaliation, justice. And if you look at what's happened over there in Iran, I mean, Israel targeted women's schools, and the first one that bombs that went off, I think there was 56 women killed, and the second one, I think there was 128. It was targeted, and regardless if we agree with their religion or what they're doing, they have their own religion in their own country, and I don't have a love for the Iranian people by any means, but I know what's wrong is wrong. And this morning I got up and I was praying, and as I was praying, I thought of the prayer in Habakkuk, and I thought about, "In your wrath, remember mercy." And I want to start off by reading. I went to Habakkuk this morning and read this, and it was a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, and I want to start in verse 3 and just read some of this prayer, and I think it's something that I think it applies for us today. Starting in 3 verses 2, "Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his powers. Before him goes pestilence, and plague comes after him. He stood and surveyed the earth. He took and startled the nations. Yes, the perpetual mountains were shattered. The ancient hills collapsed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan under distress. The tents, curtains of the land of Midian were trembling. Did the Lord rage against the rivers? Or was your anger against the rivers? Or was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horse, on your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made bare, the rod's chastisement were sworn. You cleaved the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and quaked. The downpours of waters swept by. The deep uttered forth its voice. It lifted high its hands. Sun and moon stood in their places. They went away at the light of your arrows, at the radiance of your gleaming spear. In indignation you marched through the earth. In anger you trampled the nations. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You struck the head of the house of the evil to lay him open from thigh to neck. You pierced his own spear. The head of his thrones, they stormed in to scatter us. And I'm going to stop there. But as I read that, I just thought about how much it could apply to the times that we're living in today. And I want to encourage people out there that just pray that in his wrath that he remembers mercy. You know, the remnant, like in that, in the message that we just had by Earl Jones, Salvation Old and New, he talked about, you know, crying out to God and wanting that salvation, and we can have, how we can have that salvation now, and it's made for us. And I think that there's a lot of things that are happening because the remnant is doing what they're supposed to be doing. I think that there's people that are waking up all across this land, and I'm encouraged by that. I'm seeing more stuff and more people that are contacting us talking about this, you know, Jewish state of Israel and who they are. And there's stuff that's coming out even on mainstream media that's saying, hey, we need to DNA test these guys and find out who they really are. They're realizing that there is a stolen identity. And it is encouraging to me to see people that are hungering and thirsting for that truth. And I'm very grateful for that. And anyway, that's what I wanted to say. And I think that it is, you know, right now we are seeing a lot of, you know, what the remnant has done. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's turning from their wicked way, seeking him in his ways. And I believe that the remnant has an awful lot of power that we don't even realize that we have. And just want to encourage people to be in prayer this week. I see that, you know, there's already so much chatter. Energy prices are going to go through the roof. Fuel prices are going to go through the roof, if they're not already. You know, we're seeing these things. And, you know, we've got wars that are breaking out all across the world. And it just seems like the scripture that came to me yesterday as I was reading the headlines, it's, you know, we were talking about Pakistan and Afghanistan warring together, and the bombing of Iran and Israel and Palestine. I mean, it's just, it's all over the place. And, you know, I thought about the scripture that said, you know, talks about wars and rumors of wars. It just, it seems like it's very possible that that's where we're at as far as the timeline goes. So just want to encourage the remnant just to stay, you know, keep praying. Smile at the future. God's got his hands in this. I know he does. Don't exactly understand all of it. I know there's a lot better scholars out there that understand what's going on a lot better than I am. I'm trying to dissect it the best that I can, and do appreciate your feedback with that as well. We've got a good message from Brother Zach that we recorded late last night, and oh, one more thing. We got that Sly Justice for that handbook of Bible law. Wanted to tell people about that. We've got, this is a new book that was just recently reprinted. Handbook by Bible Law by Charles Wiseman. $20, postage paid. They arrived this last week. Fantastic book, been out of print for a long time. And we're really glad to be able to have it. It's one of the books that I actually get quite a few calls of people that are looking for it. So anyway, wanted to let you know, not to make an infomercial out of church or anything like that, but it's one of the only ways that I can let you guys know that we got it back in stock. And also, if you had one of those books on order in the past before it was out of print and paid for it, just let me know, and I'll make sure that it gets sent out to you. But we're going to go ahead and have a message from Brother Zach. But before we do that, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. And we do just pray that, Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. We humbly cry out to you to save America. And we ask, Father, that you save this land, that you continue to waken your people up, and that you continue to guide us and direct us. Father, give us the discernment that we need and give us an extra dose of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, just be with your people, the remnant. We love you and we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, March 1st, 2026, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you're able to join us. And we are going to begin by defining, as usual, who Jesus Christ is. And that's found in the book of John, chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And if you want to know that Word that became flesh, it is your duty and my duty to study the Word of God and to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. That is our job. And to spread that Word and to show that light to the world, so that way others may come to know him and die to their old selves, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, to get that seal, to get transfer ownership of who you belong to and who I belong to into the ownership of the great I am, and his son is Jesus Christ, and that is the Word that became flesh. The Word that became flesh has a set of rules. It's called the law of God. And that law of God, which we're going to get into a little bit, as far as the individual, is our borders, our code of conduct, how we as Israelites are to conduct ourselves, so that way our Lord, our God, Jesus, can find us approved, not in front of men, but in front of God. So earlier this week, I watched a documentary, and it was about the rise of militias. And it started out in the early 70s when the Vietnam War was winding down. And one of the individuals that this documentary used for conduct or content was a man by the name of Louis Beam. And Louis Beam is a Vietnam veteran. He was a door gunner. I believe he did two tours over in Vietnam as a door gunner. And if you did two tours in Vietnam as a door gunner and you survived, you are a very, very lucky individual. I personally know a guy, he spent 15 months over in Vietnam as a door gunner. And the guy that I know, he's one of my dad's friends. And I remember one time he told me about his job over in Vietnam. And one of the things that he said, if we showed up and the infantry ground troops were in contact and they were doing they had to do an extraction. He said, when they showed up, things got really, really exciting. And there is nothing more that an NVA or a VC would love to do was to take down a Huey. And my dad's friend, he ended up getting shot down 3 times, I think is what he told me. But so that job in Vietnam was it's a hairy job. I mean, it's just those guys went out every day, day after day, and faced the enemy, pulled rescue missions, like very, very brave men. And back to this documentary, this gentleman by the name of Louis Beam, when he got back from Vietnam, he looked at what was going on in the country. There was, I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, but he didn't like what he saw as far as how his government was acting. They asked him to go over to overseas, to Southeast Asia, and fight. And the country was not thankful for what he did, what he was forced to do. And the way he saw it, there was an infiltration in our government. And I would agree, there is an infiltration in our government, as it says in Isaiah, I can't remember, where it talks about how the Assyrian afflicted Israel while they were in Egypt. And is what that was, it was a foreign government and a foreign influence ruling over the people, not only Israel, but the Egyptians as well. And I'm sure Mr. Beam did not want the job that he ended up being called to do, which was to wave the flag of the Anglo-Saxon and tell everybody that would listen that their government was not just. It wasn't the government that his father and grandfather and great-grandfather had. It was a different government. And this documentary is a liberal documentary. Did not paint Mr. Beam's life in a positive aspect. And I had never heard of him before I seen this documentary. But I know enough to know that he wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong in the injustice that's going on in this country. And from in the 70s and 80s, and I would not say that he chose that job, but he had enough courage to stand up and speak. And it caused him a lot of trouble. It caused him a lot of trouble. And it's not something that people, when they're little kids, think like, hey, I want to grow up and, you know, most little kids want to be a fireman or a policeman or whatever. But that was the job that was laid before him. And in that documentary, one of the things that was said was, it said by 2044 or 45, it said that the white race was going to be the minority in the United States. And they had that congressman from Minnesota, that Somali, you know, they talked about her and, you know, they show her up there talking about the rights of people and this and that and what the government should do and how things should be run. And I was sitting there listening to it and I thought, you know, all those people, You don't see people flooding over to Somalia. You don't see people flooding over to Rwanda, where back in the late 90s, they had a huge ethnic cleansing and wiped out like 80,000 people in a matter of a month or two. You don't see people flocking to those governments and those systems. Where are they flocking? They're flocking to where the Anglo-Saxon has set up the government to where there's an opportunity to prosper, to where you can relatively be safe. And these people come over and they want to change anything. They don't leave their culture where they found it. They don't leave their culture in that land. They want to bring it over here and erode and infect our land with ungodly systems. That's what they want to do. And I got to thinking about it, and like, these people have no appreciation for the work, the foundation that our forefathers, the Anglo-Saxons, set up, fought, bled, built foundations, the infrastructure, to where they can travel freely and not be worried that someone's going to take them out because they're of some certain tribe. They don't appreciate the work and the blood and sweat and tears that it took to get this wonderful nation, the United States of America, to be in the position that it's in. They don't fear our God. They don't respect our God. They don't uphold his law and view his system, which our Constitution is founded on. As Andrew Jackson said, the Bible is the rock upon which the foundation of the United States rests. We are supposed to be a godly country. We are. This country was founded and built and designed by Anglo-Saxons, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, and kindred people, sons of Israel. The Anglo-Saxon is the multitude of nations that was promised to our forefather Abraham to be a blessing to the world. Now, when you're an Anglo-Saxon, you are commissioned to a life of service. You are commissioned to serve our God. And the labor that we are supposed to do is to set up foundations and governments that mirror biblical law, that are approved by our God. And when we don't do that, you get Deuteronomy 28, curses, curses, curses. You're not going to hear the reason why our country is going down is because of violation of the law of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter 119. I begin by reading in verse 97. And it says, "Oh, how I have loved your law. It is my meditation all the day. Commandments make me wiser than my enemies." What does it say there? Because an individual that meditates on the law of God, what does it do? It makes you wiser than your enemies. Why would it do that? Because you know, most everybody on this ministry knows, if, well, for one, violation of the law of God is sin, as is stated in the New Testament. But it makes you wiser than the enemies. Now, if you believe the word that became flesh, which is his law, then you know that violation of God's law from a nation as a whole, there are curses that God hands down. That is the cause and effect of violation of that law. in Deuteronomy 28, it says, you will be the tail. You'll have rulers over. You will be the borrower and not the lender. Your daughters will be promised to somebody else, and somebody will come in and take them. All of your labor, somebody will come and eat up the fruits of your labor. Those are curses of the violation of God's law. In fact, what God says in Deuteronomy 28 is that as, now I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it open, but it says, as the Lord took great delight to build you up, he will also take great delight into taking you down because of that violation. He is going to delight in taking out a nation because of the disrespect to the law of God. Okay? So if you want, if you're wiser, then you should know that that violation, God is having a good time destroying his people, especially a country like this country, when it has public law 97-280, which states that the Bible is the foundation upon which this country rests. So when you allow other people to come in and introduce their culture, their way, what does it do? It violates the core system that God has put in place over you and I. And what it does, it destroys the future of our children. Now, in this documentary, they're like, you know, they're over there like, well, we have to give these people a chance. We have to listen. The answer is no, we don't. You come to our country and our land, you know, you can be here, but you have to leave your thinking back in its homeland, wherever you came from. That is it. If you don't come here and you don't intend to do that, then don't come here. We do not want you. And we probably really don't want you in the first place, because we got to help you out. This country, people really need to take responsibility for the position that this land is in. You cannot blame anybody for the condition that this country's in, except for the citizens, the Anglo-Saxons, that has abandoned God's law, that has disregarded the word. They're too busy thinking that they're going to get raptured or something. Excuse me. So if you're wiser than your enemies, you should know, just by knowing the word of God and his law, that the effect of abandoning his law, your God, my God, is going to take great delight in destroying our future. And it's our children and grandchildren that are going to pay. Now, when you have great patriots like Mr. Beam, Pastor Peters, Jack Moore, Earl Jones, what is the price that they paid? They were slandered by the enemy. They were attacked. What was their reward? Their reward was they put the knowledge into some men, and there are still a few good men, to carry on that fight, to educate other people, this is why things are the way they are. And meanwhile, we sit there and we watch all these people come in. They have no respect for the safety and the prosperity that this great land offers, and they want to change everything. Why do they want to change everything? I think I know the answer. They simply don't know. They are dumb. They are unwise. They are missing one thing. They don't, I'll get to that. At the end, I'll say what I think what they're missing. But they are incapable of understanding how the world works. You and I, as Israelites, have a wonderful gift given to us by God to where we naturally and instinctively know how the world works. We know right from wrong. When we are born as an Israelite, we instinctively know what's right and wrong. Now, granted, we have our parents and they cultivate us and they let us know, you know, the consequences of doing wrong as we're children. But those other people don't. Let me continue by reading. Verse 99. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How did he know? Because he studied the law of God. As it says up on verse 97, oh, how I love your law. The individual that wrote this psalm understood how things work perfectly. He knew more than his teachers, men and women. He understood that his great instructor was the Word. He understood it, and he applied it to his life, and he did not veer off in it, as he says here. This is what made him wiser. This is what made him prosperous. He understood that it was by following the law of God. He understood that by him doing that, he was safe, and everything he put his hand to do was for the glory of God, and God prospered him for it. That's really what it boils down to. When we see all these things going on in this world, and we see the rape of the tax dollars for these so-called child care businesses, and we see Huckabee over there, he's the ambassador for the United States over in the Israeli land, saying that Israel, that is not, and it's not the Israel of old, the Zionists should take over the whole area. They have a right to it when they're nothing more than a bunch of Edomites. He does not know. Well, if he does, shame on him. He does not know the Word of God. He does not know Jesus. So you have all these people here that are ungrateful, think that they have a stake. Well, they do have a stake, because we, as Israelites, have not upheld God's system. We say it's done away with because we listen to these dirty bird preachers. And then men like Mr. Beam and Pastor Peters sit there and get harassed, slandered, lies spoken about them. And the thing of it is, they're right. They're right. There is a foreign government in our land. There is a Babylonian system that's ruling this land, allowing all this stuff come in. Why? Because of the sin that is in our country. Because we sit there and we follow false Christ. We follow false Jesuses. Let's say the law is done away with. Let's say the law was tacked up on the cross with Jesus. Jesus never said that. If that's the case, why is it even in the Bible? Let me continue by reading. Verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. If immigrants, non-Anglo-Saxons come here, they are supposed to leave their culture where they came from. If you don't, you should not be welcome. You should not listen. If you come up from South America and you're hauling in drugs and fentanyl and coming here with illegally, you're not supposed to be here. What you are, cancer, and you're like a tick. You're like a tick that just sucks the lifeblood out of the body. And there's so many of them, it's going to take the body out. They love the false way. As to us as true Israelites are supposed to love the correct way and hate the false way. What I see going on in this nation is Israelites embracing the false way. And then they don't understand, and they don't understand why things are going the way that, well, they do. They think they do. Like, well, God, the Bible says, in the end times, like, people, things will get so bad that, you can't be a Christian. Why? Because they don't promote God's political system. In fact, they're the catalyst of everything going down the tubes. And they're oblivious to it. And then they sit there and they say, yup, it's just like God said. But there is going to come a day to when, as it says in Isaiah, when Zion will shake the dust, remove the wicked or the filthy clothes, put on their righteous clothes, and go to town. How do we fight? By the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is a sword. It does not care what anybody thinks. It does not care about anybody else's culture, because the word of the Lord knows that if you blend it in time, it's going to go down. It's just a matter of... If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8. I begin by reading in verse 8. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says Lord, I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The new covenant is not for everybody. The new covenant was handed to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It is the house of Israel and the house of Judah's responsibility to serve the Lord and do the Lord's work, to establish righteous government in the land, and to not step away from it. Is that what we have going on here in this land today? No. We have Judaism preachers, Baal priests, telling the house of Israel and the house of Judah, everyone's the same, the spiritual Israel, which is all garbage. And they believe it because they're sheep and they're stupid because of their lack of knowledge. Because they don't make the connection in their mind that if there's a violation of God's law, that God will take great delight in destroying his people. They don't understand, like, when it says in the law, if you violate my law, then the land will reject you. Just as it did the Canaanites before. Why? Because the land could not take it more. All these things are doing because of the suppression of knowledge, of false teaching. And then when you have patriots, men that fear the Lord, say something, stand up, starken, and letting everybody know what's going on, what do? They send the FBI after them. They send the ATF after them. They slander them. They make, you know, they write news articles about how crazy this white supremacist is. When those guys are actually telling you the answer to solve the problem. Be humble. Fear the Lord. Uphold his law. They're not telling you to listen to everybody because they know their wife because they operate within the boundaries of God's system. They never took Pastor Peters out. They couldn't get him. Why? Because God's hand protected him. Now, I'm at times where he's like, oh, he's smokers. This is getting pretty heavy. But the new covenant is established for the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So that way they can do the work of the Lord, which is to create safe places. There's justice in the land. Is that what we're doing as Israelites as a whole? The answer is no. Verse 9. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant, and they did not care for them, says the Lord. For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. The old covenant? Israel did. It says it right there. Israel failed, and they were disobedient, and they allowed Baal into their land, just like we're doing today. And the covenant was broken. It was broken because they violated. It wasn't God's doing. It was Israel's doing. They allowed all these different cultures to come in and take hold in their land. And what happened? The land rejected them. It's like, this land is going to reject us if we don't get our heads on straight as a nation of as a whole, as an Anglo-Saxon. And we actually care about our people instead of keeping up with the trying to do better. And we care about the future of our people for the generations to come. Judeo-Christianity does not teach that. They sell fake fire insurance. And our people love it. I continue. Right in the middle of verse 10. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law into their mind, and I will write them on their heart. These non-Israelite people that are infecting our land, what do they lack? They lack the law in their mind, in their heart, that we as Israelites are born with. That is what they lack. Do not know. They have no understanding. They do not know right from wrong. They are incapable of producing a system that allows the freedom we enjoy. And then they come here, and they have no respect for our God. They have no respect for our system, and they want to abuse it, and they want to rape it, and they want to plunder it. And they have every right to do it because we, as that multitude of nations, has abandoned the ways of our God. We think that we know the Word that became flesh, Jesus Christ, but we don't know Him. And I'm talking as a whole. I'm not talking about people on this ministry. Those people do not have the law on their mind or in their heart. Instinctively, it is not there. Instinctively, there is no value there. Instinctively, they are self and only want what they can get. They do not care about their neighbors. They don't care about their kinsmen. And you can sit there and say, oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Yeah, I'll tell you what. My brother, when he was in the Marine Corps, I think he got sent over to Africa twice. Once was right after that movie Black Hawk Down. Like, he showed up like a month after that incident took place. And at that time, he was a machine gunner in the infantry. And what he said about the mentality of those people was servitous. They did not care about the old or the young. And all these fighting age males were the ones that were the healthiest because they didn't care. They only cared about themselves. He was also sent to a couple years later to Rwanda when they had that big ethnic, and his outfit was in charge of securing the embassy, the U.S. embassy, and getting all the citizens of the United States out. And he just said, I mean, when that ethnic cleansing was going on, what he told me is like they did were a not correct tribe member. It didn't matter how old you were. It didn't matter if you were a little kid. It didn't matter. You were going down. He said it was ruthless. Strong survived. No care, didn't care about individuals' rights, no compassion, it was on. And that's the kind of mentality that these people want to bring to no justice, just rape and pillage, and get what you can. No appreciation for what the generations before us laid out and allow us to live in this great, prosperous land. They don't care. They can't care. Why? Because the law is not in their heart. The law is not written on their mind. And we as Israelites sit there and listen to them and try to give them a chance and try to reason with them. It's too late. You gave them a foothold. And they're destroying our country. They're gobbling up all the labor that I do, that you do. The infrastructure, all the power, all the great roads that the labor of our people have done. In this system that was founded on biblical principle. They are incapable of it. Is it right there? The law is written on the heart and mind of Israelites. I'm too dumb to make this stuff up. It's that simple. Me as in this ministry, I have to say what the Word says. I will put my law into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God. Don't obey what's on our mind and in our heart, because God put it there. Our God is going to take great delight in destroying us, as we see on the TV every single day. And then when there's things that are going good and people are getting hauled out, criminals, and everyone's up in arms about it. They're not Israelites. They are doing wicked things. We should hate what they are bringing into our country, because what it does, it forces instead to destroy us and to remove us from the land. This is all biblical stuff. What we need to do as an Israelite nation is get on our knees and repent and uphold his system. That is the only way out. Instead of sitting there listening to documentaries like I, you know, and actually, how do I want to put this? That documentary I watched last week, you know, painted me. They just shredded his reputation. The guy's actually a hero. What he was doing was right. He actually cares about his kin, his fellow white man. He paid a big price for it. So did Pastor Peters. So did Colonel Moore. He's right. Like, I don't know if any of you people ever seen the movie American History X, and it's got, who is that? Edward Norton in it. And he was a big Nazi white supremacist, and he was mean and this and that. Everything he was saying in there, I actually agreed with. But it was spun in such a way, so that way you're supposed to not agree with the thought process that his character had. If people aren't willing to work, they should not be able to eat. If they're not willing to be a non-Israelite and keep the Sabbath holy, uphold his law, then you're not welcome. What is it going to take to change the minds of God's people? You're going to have to hurt more, I think. You're going to have more people shouting from the rooftop to uphold God's law. You're going to have more people pointing out the Israel truth. Excuse me. If we don't do that, then it's lost. The whole thing's lost. We will more and more and more until our stiff necks bow our heads and pray and reach out to our God. That's the only way. And with that, I see I'm out of time. For our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. Well, I know we went over time a little bit, so I'm going to make this communion. I want to read just a couple verses here in Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, starting in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. And, you know, as we, there's a lot of different things, that reasons why that we partake of communion. One of the big things is we're told to, we're commanded to, we're told to do this in remembrance. And, you know, there's, as we, I think that, you know, as listening to Brother Zach's message and listening to Earl Jones' message today, Salvation Old and New, it is, this is a way that we can have that forgiveness and have that salvation, that covenant. And when we partake of communion today, I just want us to pray that we're forgiven of our sins, known and unknown, and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the blood that was shed and the body that was broken to give us forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we come before you and we ask to be forgiven of our sins, known and unknown. We ask that you purify our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Lord, we pray, Father, that as we partake of this, that we can put behind us. We pray, Father, that we can have the forgiveness in our hearts that we need to have towards our Christian brothers. Lord, we pray, Father, that you just continue to use this to awaken us, to give us more of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we come with grateful hearts, Father. We know that you are our God and we are your people, and we're thankful for that. Lord, we pray, Father, that you bless Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to have a short song and then have a message by Earl Jones, Salvation Old.
You're my ghost.